أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. ليس عليكم جناح أن تبتغوا فضلا من ربكم، فإذا أفضتم من عرفات فاذكروا الله عند المشعر الحرام، واذكروه كما هداكم وإن كنتم من قبله لمن الضالين. ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفروا الله، إن الله غفور رحيم. فإذا قضيتم مناسككم فاذكروا الله كذكركم آباءكم أو أشد ذكرا، فمن الناس من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا وما له في الآخرة من خلاق. ومنهم من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، أولئك لهم نصيب مما كسبوا، والله سريع الحساب. واذكروا الله في أيام معدودات، فمن تعجل في يومين فلا إثم عليه، ومن تأخر فلا إثم عليه، لمن اتقى. واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم إليه تحشرون. صدق الله العظيم.
شکریہ اے حافظ و اس کا رہو کرتے ادا، حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا. شکریہ اے حافظ و اس کا رہو کرتے ادا، حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا. دس عزیزوں کے سفارش کا تمہیں مجدہ ملا، اس سے بڑھ کر حفظ قرآن کا بلا کیا ہو سلا. دس عزیزوں کے سفارش کا تمہیں مجدہ ملا، اس سے بڑھ کر حفظ قرآن کا بلا کیا ہو سلا. مل گیا ہے رب سے دس بے آسروں کو آسرا، مل گیا ہے رب سے دس بے آسروں کو آسرا. حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا. حفظ قرآن کے الفاظ تم نے کر لیے، لالو گوہر سے تو دامن تم نے اپنے بر لیے. حفظ قرآن کے الفاظ تم نے کر لیے، لالو گوہر سے تو دامن تم نے اپنے بر لیے. اب عمل کی موتیاں چننے کو آیا مرحلہ، اب عمل کی موتیاں چننے کو آیا مرحلہ. حفاظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا ابو امی کو خدا وہ تاج کل پہنائے گا جس کے آگے چاند و سورج کو گرہن لگ جائے گا ابو امی کو خدا وہ تاج کل پہنائے گا جس کے آگے چاند و سورج کو گرہن لگ جائے گا شرط بس یہ ہے نہ ہو قول و عمل میں فاصلہ شرط بس یہ ہے نہ ہو قول و عمل میں فاصلہ حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا طائب خستہ بھی دعا گو ہے تمہارے واسطے تم بھی کرنا اب دعائے اس بیچارے واسطے طائب خستہ بھی دعا گو ہے تمہارے واسطے تم بھی کرنا اب دعائے اس بیچارے واسطے دے بھی سکتے ہیں بلا کیا ہم دعاؤں کے سوا دے بھی سکتے ہیں بلا کیا ہم دعاؤں کے سوا حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا شکریہ اے حافظو اس کا رہو کرتے ادا حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا شکریہ اے حافظو اس کا رہو کرتے ادا حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی only through His kindness. Without our deserving, has granted us innumerable favors. From amongst those favors, one of the greatest favors is the glorious Quran. It is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith, khayrul hadith kitabullah. The best hadith, the best kalam, the best word, the best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this great ni'mat, great favor, great bounty, communicates with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with us. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, do this, don't do this. So Quran-e-Majid, Furqan-e-Hamid is a medium between we and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we fulfill the rights of this ni'mah, that is, if we acknowledge that this favor was bestowed upon me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only through His grace, without my being deserving of it, and after acknowledging this, if we verbally were to say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr, O Allah, all praises belong to you and all shukr belongs to you. And thereafter, if we were to read the Quran the way it is to be read, keeping quantity and quality both in mind, and if we were to, after reading the Quran, understand the Quran, and after understanding the Quran, if we were to practice the Quran, then it is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will honor us in this world, He will honor us at the time of death, He will honor us in the grave, He will honor us on the day of resurrection, He will honor us at the time of reckoning, He will honor us on the pul sirat, the bridge of sirat, and He will grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus forever and ever, and He will grant us honor in Jannatul Firdaus also. Nowadays, we believe in the Quran. And when we talk about the Quran, we feel that we revere the Quran also. When we talk about the Quran, we feel that we love the Quran also. I am not disputing this fact that every mu'min reveres the Quran, every mu'min loves the Quran. But there are various stages of love and reverence. Do we treat the Quran with that reverence which it deserves? Do we love the Quran
as much as it deserves. How much feeling, how much love, how much reverence do we experience when our gaze falls on the Mus'haf? When we come across an alim, or when we come across a sheikh, when we come across our teacher who we have respect for, who we have reverence for, who we have love for, as soon as our gaze falls on him, the condition of our heart changes. But when our gaze falls on the Mus'haf, the book which contains the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't experience anything in our hearts. There were people who, upon setting their gaze on the Mus'haf, experienced something in their hearts. And if they are busy, if they are unable to read the Quran at that particular moment, they have so much love for the Quran and so much reverence for the Quran that they would pick up the Mus'haf, kiss the Mus'haf, and then respectfully put it down and then leave. Like a father who is going to work and his gaze falls on his child, he doesn't have time to play with the child because he's already late for work. He would pick up the child for a while. He would kiss the child. He would hug the child. Bishr Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great saint. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, upon the arrival of Bishr Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala, would stand up from his place out of respect for him. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala was a very pious personality, and he was a great faqih, he was a great jurist, he was a great muhaddis, great mufassir, great alim. He was one of those people through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved this deen. Pillar of the knowledge of Nubuwa, one of the pillars of the knowledge of Nubuwa. He himself says that I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 99 times in my dream. He saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dream. So imagine the number of times he may have seen our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a great muhaddis. His book of hadith is well known, which contains thousands of ahadith, Musnadul Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Mufti Mahmood rahimahullah ta'ala of Pakistan, another great personality of our time. He was a politician as well, clean politician. And he was a great alim as well, a great mufti. He was the teacher of Bukhari Sharif. One day somebody asked him, "Have you seen our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your dream?" So Mufti Mahmud rahimahullah ta'ala said that a person teaches Bukhari Sharif and he does not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, then what type of Bukhari he is teaching? He is teaching Bukhari Sharif, approximately 7,000 ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam each year. So he is spending approximately 1.5-2 hours teaching, 2-3 hours preparing. All the time hadith, 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 Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. despite that he is unable to inculcate that level of love in his heart, that he has not seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, how is it possible? My friends, if we read Bukhari Sharif, if we teach Bukhari Sharif, if we read the Quran, if we are learning the Quran, if we are teaching the Quran, if we do not do it the way it should be done, it will not have much value in the code of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the great people who had thermometers. That this is the thermometer. That after teaching Bukhari Sharif, if I am unable to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream, that means there is something wrong with my quality. That was his belief. There is a couplet in Urdu. Jo be-ishke Muhammad padhta hai Bukhari, the one who reads Bukhari Sharif, the one who engages in the study of Bukhari Sharif without love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be-ishke Muhammad jo padhta hai Bukhari, aata hai Bukhar usko, nahi aati Bukhari. Then he will experience fever, he will not be able to study Bukhari. Because without love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be a boring exercise. Without love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot experience the love for the Mus'haf, for the Quran. And because we cannot experience that love for the Quran, we cannot sit down and read the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala used to spend hours in studying the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he used to go into seclusion. No wife, no friends, no children. Complete solitude. So that he is able to grasp the message of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as best as possible. So somebody said to him, you spend so much time in seclusion, do you not get bored? Do you not experience anxiety on your own in seclusion, hours you spend? So he said, why would I experience anxiety and why would I become bored when I am spending time with my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I am continually reading the sayings of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the actions of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I am in a world of imagination. Sometimes I find myself in Madina Munawwara, sometimes I find myself in Makkah Mukarrama, sometimes I find myself in Hudaybiyah, sometimes I find myself in Tawaf with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes I am observing the sajda of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in tahajjud. Sometimes I am observing his social life, his family life. Sometimes I observe him as a mufti. Sometimes I observe him as a qadi. I am with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The important point that I would like to draw the attention of myself first and thereafter all my friends here is that let us recognize this ill in ourselves, that we do not have that level of love for Quran and Hadith and Ilmi Nubuwwat that we are supposed to have. Once a person recognizes the problem, he will find a solution to the problem. Once a person is diagnosed with an illness, then he will be able to find the cure for that illness. But if a sick does not accept that I am sick, I heard my Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala mention that there was a very well known hakim, a very wise person. Somebody asked him that which is the biggest illness, biggest physical illness. Which is the biggest physical illness? So he said, That illness is the biggest. And that illness is the most severe. And that illness is the most dangerous, where the sick person does not accept that he has a sickness. The illness may be very insignificant, but if the sick person does not accept that he has a sickness, he will not take medicine, he will not go to the doctor. And this insignificant sickness in the future can become significant, and it could become fatal for him. So it is very important, my friends, that whenever we sit in the company of the ulama and when we listen to them, we listen to them very carefully to find shortcomings in our lives. Shortcomings in our lives. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that I saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 99 times. If he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 99 times, only Allah knows how many times he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, after observing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my dream 100 times, I resolved that when I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100th time, I will ask him a question. The dreams were so true that out of dream they would resolve and say that if I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100th time, I will ask him a question. And he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100th time. And he asked the question that he wanted to ask. He said, "Oh Allah, which deed is most beloved to you?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, recitation of the Quran. Which deed is most beloved to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, recitation of the Quran. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi said that with understanding or without understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with or without. These are two different deeds. One is to recite the Quran. Second is to understand the Quran. And Quran has both rights upon us, to recite and also to understand. These are from the rights of the Quran. So if we have a person who is reciting the Quran, reciting the Quran, reciting the Quran, and he is making no effort to understand the Quran, he is fulfilling one right and he is violating the other. And if we have a person who is always reading tafsir, 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 but does not recite the Quran as we have in front of us, then he is fulfilling one right of the Quran, understanding the Quran, but he is violating the other right. This great Imam, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, when Bishr Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala used to come in his gathering, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala used to stand up from his place to welcome him. There is a shortcoming in this aspect also. Respect, adab. No adab for parents. No adab for elders. Parents, our uncles, our aunts, they are our elders. Elders in the community, those who are older than us. No respect. No respect for the imams, no respect for the ulama, no respect for the qurra, no respect for the pious. There are various reasons why we respect each other. If a young alim who is in his late 20s is being respected by somebody who is 60 years old, who is not an alim, mashallah. The 60-year-old is revering and respecting a much younger person than him because he has ilm. Similarly, this alim needs to respect that person because of his age. We will always find a reason to respect one another. And if we look for those reasons and if we respect each other, my friends, then this world would be a very happy place to live in. Stretched on the sofa, Father comes, no movement. Mother comes, no movement. Siblings are busy talking amongst themselves, arguing, quarreling, or discussing something, and the father says, "Son, Abu Bakr, Ismail," no response. No response. Haywat ibn Shuraih, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great muhaddis, Haywat ibn Shuraih, when he used to sit in his local Jame Masjid to give dars, thousands of students would sit in front of him. He had an old mother, very old mother. So it is written in his biography that sometimes the old mother would come looking for him in the masjid whilst he is sitting as a muhaddis and imparting his dars. And the whole gathering had so much love and reverence for Haywat ibn Shuraih. Haywat ibn Shuraih is such a great muhaddis that he comes in the chain of narrations in Bukhari Sharif. And the old lady would come into the masjid, look for her son, very old, frail. And she would walk towards the mimbar and she would stand in front of her son and he would say, "Ya Haywa, oh Haywa." He would immediately stand up. He would leave his dars on one side. "Ya Haywa, oh Haywa, alqil hububa lid-dajaj." The chickens are hungry, go feed them. So he would turn to his students and he would say that, "Please bear with me for a while. I have to fulfill the command of my mother. Because Allah has instructed me to do so." Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Children are a source of adoration, decoration of the home. Children are a source of happiness for the parents. Today, 70 to 80% of the parents are unhappy because of their children. They are experiencing torture because of their children. No adab. Adab hi se insan insan hai. Adab jo na sikhe wo haywan hai. The difference, one of the differentiating factors between we and the animals is adab. Animals don't have respect. And humans have respect. Respect for the masjid, respect for Kaaba, respect for the Quran, respect for our elders. Alhamdulillah, I still have my mother with me. And it's a great honor to have our parents alive. I am deprived of the blessings of my father, but I still have mother with me, and she stays with me. And I feel that from amongst the siblings, I am the fortunate one that my mother is with me. It is not the case with majority of the people. There are fortunate people who feel that way, who have been granted tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to think this way. But there are those who take parents as burdens. In old age, they have to take turns. 1 month here, another month here, another month here. In that old age, 80 years old, 75 years old, going from one house to another. The way we treat our parents, we will be treated in the same manner, if not worse. And I will turn 57 this November. So I am not a young man either. Despite that, I never leave my house without saying to my mother that I am leaving the house. Just in case she wants to say something to me. Just in case there is something that she wants me to do for her. Without saying, I am taking consent that I am going for Salat. I am going to the academy. I am going for a program. And if she is in a busy bathroom or engaged with something, sleeping, then I emphasize to my wife that when she wakes up, when she is out of the bathroom, tell her that I could not wait because I had to be there on time. So I was looking for her, tell her, and ask her to make dua for me. I I will never contemplate on booking a ticket without taking permission from my mother, even at this age. She doesn't know where Canada is, she doesn't know where America is, she doesn't know how far India is from here. She was born in Bhoria, grew up in Bhoria, no education. And every time I ask her, she always says, that my son, now you are in a position to take decision for me. So don't ask me. Whatever you feel good, take that decision. But no. I will ask her first that I am contemplating going to this country. They are inviting me and I feel that it is appropriate for me to go. And it will be from this date to this date. How do you feel? I know what the answer is going to be, despite that I ask. Because I think to myself that how happy she must be, how much happiness she must be experiencing. And the dua that I will become deserving of as a result of this small act. And however tired I am, if I am lying down, relaxing in the car after a very busy schedule abroad, here, anywhere, if Maulana Ahmed, who is always with me in my journey, if he says that it's mother, she is calling, I will immediately take the call. I will never say that ask her to phone after 10 minutes or tell her I will phone her in 10 minutes. I will immediately take the call and I will never relax like this and talk to her. I will always sit like this and talk to her. Because this is, for me, I feel that it is inappropriate to sit like this and talk to my mother. If I don't sit like this in front of my teachers, does my mother not deserve the same respect who has given birth to me and who has brought me up? With my akabir, with my mashayikh, or with my mother, whenever I speak on the phone, I never, even if I am in bed, if I need to speak to any of my teachers or any of my mashayikh or my mother, I always sit up properly, respectfully, and then I speak. Why am I saying all this? Whatever little good that you see in me, and the little fame that you see in me, one of the main reasons is the adab that I try to carry out with my elders. Dua takes a person very quickly towards progress. Dua. Dua of parents, dua of teachers, and dua of pious people. It takes a person very quickly towards progress. And how is dua possible? Dua is possible through two things. Khidmah and adab. Khidmah and adab. Khidmah. You have a poor person who is hungry. And you feed him. This is khidmah. What will he do? He will make dua for you. So you serve your parents. You serve your teachers. You serve your shuyukh. You serve the pious people around you. The pious people in the masjid. Just open the door for them. If there is a person struggling to take out his shoes from the shoe rack and put it on the floor because he has a back problem, help him. Khidmah. Khidmah. Khidmah is a result of dua. And number two, adab. Adab. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that one day I provided Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with water when he went for istinja. He went for istinja. So I came with some water and I placed the utensil nearer to where he had gone for istinja. When he came back from istinja, he looked at the water and he said that who brought this water for me? So people said Ibn Abbas. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Khidmah. Khidmah compels a person to make dua. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Oh Allah, give him the knowledge of the kitab. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, at the time of the demise of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was only 13 years old. So when he carried out this khidmah, he may have been 12 or 11 or 10 or 9. And as a result of this small khidmah, he filled a container, he filled a utensil with water and he just placed the water there. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma allimul kitab. As a result of this, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma became Raisul Mufassirin, the leader of all the Mufassirin of the Ummah. He has been given the title Al-Habr, Al-Bahr, the Allama of the Ummah, the ocean of knowledge, Tarjumanul Quran. And he narrates another incident. He says that I was spending time in the house of my aunt Maymuna radiallahu anha. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was married to Maymuna radiallahu anha. She was my aunt, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became my uncle. So he was my cousin brother and also my uncle. And I used to take advantage of this. I would now and then take permission and spend my night in the house of Maymuna radiallahu anha. So I am able to spend time with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and observe him during the nights. So I can learn something from him. So one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got up. I also got up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was about to begin the prayer when he saw that I also stood next to him, one or two steps behind him. Individual prayers, tahajjud prayer. But out of respect, I stood one or two steps behind him. So he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam pulled me and he made me stand right next to him. And then he began his salat. He said, as soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam started performing his salat, I moved back again, one or two steps, out of respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Adab, khidmat and adab. After completing the salat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned to me and said, Ibn Abbas, when I pulled you right beside me, why did you move back? Young man Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, early teens or below his teens, he said, أَوَيَنْبَغِ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يُسَلِّيَ حِذَاءَكَ وَأَنْتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Does it befit a person that he stands right next to you when you are the Rasul of Allah? No, it does not befit a person. So out of respect I stand. This is the riwayah of the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala numa says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this from me, fada'ali bil barakatih. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for me for barakah. Barakah in ilm, barakah in amal. So my young friends, my dear students, let us go with this zeal that we will inculcate adab in our lives. We will inculcate adab in our lives. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala used to get up whenever Bishri Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala used to come. In ilm, Imam Ahmad was superior. But Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi believed that in amal, in taqwa, Bishri Hafi was more superior. So imagine the status of Bishri Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi feels that in deen he is more superior to me, and Imam Ahmad himself is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in his dream. So imagine the state of Bishri Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala. What became the turning point in the life of Bishri Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala? This is what I wanted to mention. What became the turning point? Bishri Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala was a normal person. Normal person. What made him become a talibul ilm? What made him turn towards ilm? What made him turn towards amal? Taqwa. My friends, whatever we do in life, it's like whatever we eat in life, whatever we eat in life, ask the doctors. There is nothing in this world, there is no food or no drink in this world which will not have an effect on you. Either it will have a positive effect or a negative effect without our realizing. If we eat one apple, it will have a positive effect. People drink too many fizzy drinks these days. They have negative effects. But we don't realize it. Any amal we carry out, whether good or bad, it has an effect on our spiritual aspect, positive or negative. So never look down upon any insignificant amal. Whenever we get the opportunity to carry out any amal, carry it out as long as it is good. Don't tell yourself that, oh, it's only insignificant. You are driving, and while driving, the thought enters your mind that I want to say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah, the thought enters your mind, Subhanallah. And you say, I don't perform Salat, I don't give Zakat, I'm not a very practicing Muslim. Where will Subhanallah take me? What is Subhanallah in comparison to all the sins I am committing? No, say Subhanallah, because this Subhanallah may have such a positive effect on your spiritual life that it may become a turning point in your life. And I always tell young friends that the thoughts that enter our hearts and minds are guests. If Maulana Ahmad Sahib comes to my house and if I entertain him, if I meet him with a smile, if I shake hands with him, if I give him a hug, warm welcome, then he will want to come back again. And if I don't entertain him, the guest will not want to come back again. The thoughts that we get are guests. So if the thought of saying Subhanallah enters our mind, we should say Subhanallah, this thought will come again. But if we don't entertain it, it will come once, twice, thrice, and it will stop coming. And bad thoughts don't entertain. Ignore them, so they stop coming. Bishr Hafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala was a simple man. One night he was going somewhere during the day, during the night, and he saw a piece of paper lying down on the ground. So he picked up the paper and it was written in that paper either only the name of Allah or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He felt hurt because he had love and reverence for the Quran. And because he had love and reverence for the Quran, love and reverence for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why he picked up the paper. Because he felt that it had something written on it may be the name of Allah. So he picked it up. He picked it up and he cleaned it. And he went straight to a shop. He was not a very wealthy man. He had a few dirham only, so he went to a shop and he bought the best cloth that he could afford. And then he went to the perfume shop and he bought the best perfume that he could afford. And after applying perfume to the cloth, he wrapped this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the cloth and he put it high in his house somewhere. He showed respect to the name of Allah. He showed respect to one verse of the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is how valuable this kalam is. Reverence and love. When he went to sleep at night, he saw an angel in his dream. And the angel said that you respected the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you respected the verse of the Quran today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you with a message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to you, Ya Bishro, O Bishr, tayyabta ismi. You have respected and honored my name. لَأُطَيِّبَنَّكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I will make sure that your name is respected in this world and also in the hereafter. And when he woke up in the morning, he was a completely changed man. If we had love for the Quran, if we had reverence for the Quran, that we should have, then we would have respected the Mushaf, we would have respected the talaba, the students who are learning the Quran. We would have respected the ulama who have Quran in their hearts. We would have respected the ulama who have the ulum of the Quran in their hearts. We would have respected the makatib and the madaris, which are the centers of Quran. The two students who are completing the glorious Quran today. when we hear that so and so is completing the Quran, when we are invited that please, on this day, out of happiness, the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain, upon completing Suratul Baqara, would slaughter a camel and invite their friends that please come participate. Remaining within Shari'i limits, with sincerity and with reverence and love for the Quran, if a person invites his friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him greatly. But let us think. Let us do our own MRI and CT scan. Let us look deep into our hearts. That when we are invited, today we were invited. From the time we were invited until now, how many times did this thought occur? That what a great achievement. What a great achievement. How many times? Majority of the people will say that the thought didn't even go. That it's an achievement, never mind great achievement. Because we are friends of Qari Abdul Samad Sahib, because we have been invited, because we are relatives. So we will go. And sometimes we will have to go. It's not that we look forward to it, that no, this is not wedding or something. This majlis is associated to the Quran. This invitation is associated to the Quran. It's a great honor for me to be there in that gathering. And what a great achievement that a young child from the Ummah has managed to memorize more than 6,000 verses of the Quran. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he will be so valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the day of Qiyamah he will intercede for 10 people. 10 people upon whom Jahannam is incumbent. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man qara al-Quran, one who reads the Quran, fastazharahu, and thereafter he memorizes the Quran, fa ahalla halalahu wa harrama haramahu. Thereafter he understands halal and he engages in halal, and he understands haram and he abstains from haram. Adkhalahu Allahu al-Jannah. Allah will grant him entry into Jannah. And not only will Allah grant him entry into Jannah, وَشَفَّاهُ فِي أَشَرَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ كُلُّهُمْ قَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَهُمُ النَّارِ. Allah will say that I am giving you the authority to intercede for any ten members of your family upon whom Jahannam is wajib. Imagine this great honor on the day of Qiyamah, that the whole family will be standing in front of him and he will be saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the authority to take 10 of you in Jannah and I am going to choose 10 people. Today we don't pay attention to the Hafiz. We are more busy talking to the professor in the family. MA and BA, they are more important to us. Hafiz of the Quran is insignificant. Hafiz of the Quran is insignificant. Hafiz of the Quran will help us on the day nobody will be able to help us. It's a great achievement. The thought process should be that in our family this person has acquired the greatest achievement because he has become the Hafiz of the Quran, mashallah. He will be honored, his parents will be honored, his family will be honored. So my friends, we are very, very fortunate today to be in this gathering. Let us instill in our hearts reverence for the Quran, reverence for ilm-e nubuwwah. Then automatically everything will fall in its place. If I have love for the Quran, then I will definitely love the person who has the Quran. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala, another great personality of our time, great muhaddis Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala, he has written the commentary of Tirmidhi Sharif in the Arabic language. Great personality, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala. In order to make students understand, those associated to us understand value of certain things, importance of certain things, a person mentions his experiences, like I just did regarding my mother. So Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullahi alayhi says that from that time I became understanding. We understand certain things at the age of 12, certain things at the age of 15, certain things at the age of 20. So from that time I understood the importance of the Quran and reverence of the Quran. So it must be around his early teens or mid-teens or when he was studying. From that time until today, I have never stretched my foot out towards anyone who is Hafiz of the Quran. Be it my student, I have never stretched out my leg towards the Hafiz of the Quran. Out of respect for what his heart is holding. If we, my friends, show this respect for the ulum of Nubuwwah, then we will also become like Shaykh Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah ta'ala. As a result of this respect, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him? He says that during my student days, when I was in my student days, during my student days, one day I sat after the Fajr Salat and it occurred to me that I would like to recite the Quran. So he said that I started reciting the Quran after Fajr Salat. I remained in my place reciting the Quran and I recited 26 juz in one go. During my student days when I was studying. My friends, there are so many of us who would like to become very religious, who would like to become a buzurg, a pious person. But we do not use the resources that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jmain has taught us, the pious predecessors have taught us. Because we don't sit in the company of the ulama. Let us sit in the company of the ulama, learn from them, listen to whatever they say very carefully, make points in our minds, in our notebooks, and try to implement little by little, little by little, little by little. And a time will come when we would have acquired so much, so much. And don't let other people shame you. The problem with the young generation is that a person desires to do something and he embarks on carrying out a particular thing and others shame him. Others shame him. A person says that I can't come tonight because I asked my father and he said that don't go. So what are we told? You have become a coward. You can't face up to your father. Become selfish for the hereafter, not for this world. Become selfish. Let them say whatever they want to. They may tease you today, but if you remain steadfast on the teachings of our deen, my friends, then you will be smiling on the day in the hereafter when they will be crying. So learn deen, learn the Quran, sit in the company of the ulama and understand the Quran, and most importantly, always keep yourself focused on this, that one day, sooner rather than later, I will depart from this world. I need to make sure that when I depart, my Allah is smiling with me. I need to make sure that one day I need to depart. And when I depart, I want Allah to be smiling with me. When I see Allah for the first time, when I face Allah for the first time, when I meet Allah for the first time, I want Allah to smile. The angels who will come to extract my ruh, I want to see them with smiling faces. At the time of death, upon seeing the ne'mats of Jannah, I myself want to be smiling also. Jo ho didar tera roze mahshar, tu dekhe muskura kar. The poet is saying, jo ho didar tera roze mahshar. If I am fortunate enough to see you on the day of Qiyamah, joho didar tera roze mahshar, if I am fortunate enough to see you on the day of Qiyamah, then in what condition do I want to see you? To dekhe muskurakar, that you look at me with a smile. So if I am given the opportunity to see you on the day of Qiyamah, oh Allah, I want to see you in a state that you are smiling with me. You are smiling. This same Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala and Bishr Hafi rahimahullahu ta'ala, both of the same time, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi says, somebody saw him in his dream after he passed away. So he said, how did Allah deal with you? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called me in front of his arsh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that bring a golden suit from Jannah. Bring a golden suit from Jannah. And bring a pair of golden shoes from Jannah. Shoes made of gold. Robe made of gold. Imama made of gold. And make Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi wear these shoes. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi said, Oh Allah, why are you giving me this VIP treatment? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that as a result of your service towards the Quran. My friends, when we hear incidents such as these, we should feel envious towards the ulama. Envious in a good sense, not jealousy. Envious that I wish I was also part of them. And I will try to become a hafiz or alim. And if I am unable to, then at least I will not deprive my children of this great honor. And then the person seeing him in the dream said that Bishr Hafi rahimahullah ta'ala had left this world before you. Have you met him? Bishr Hafi. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah said, yes, I have met Bishr Hafi. So he said, what is his condition? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah smiled and he said that I have just left him in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered the angels to spread a special dastarkhan for him with ni'mats and food from Jannah. And I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to him that, O Bishr, eat, and O Bishr, drink, because for me you used to remain hungry and thirsty in the world. These are the honors that we need to look for, entertain in our hearts and minds. These are the honors we need to make our targets, and for that we need to strive. We need to strive. We need to strive, my friends. So let us make this resolution. Jo ho didar tera roze mahshar, tu dekhe muskura kar. Oh Allah, when I see you on the day of Qiyamah, I want to see you in a state that you are smiling with me. And in order to do that, the poet is saying, what do I want from you? Dil badal de. Change my heart. My heart is corrupt at the moment. My heart is always attracting me towards unlawful activities. Change my heart. Purify my heart. So that my heart always goes towards good things that will lead me to this ni'mat, that you will see me smiling. Jo ho didar tera roze mahshar, tu dekhe muskura kar dil badal de. We congratulate Qari Abdul Samad Sahib and Haji Salahuddin Sahib. And I would like to take this opportunity of congratulating the ulama and the huffaz who are sitting here and who are toiling day and night to bring this honor to our children and our families. Our Muhtamim Sahib, Maulana Ismail Sahib, the likes of these people who toil. And it's not easy to set up a dardum, my friends. It's not easy. One only needs to sit with those people who have established institutes and ask them, especially the initial stages, how hard it is. And thereafter we see ulama graduating, huffaz graduating, qurra graduating. It is the result of their toil. It is the result of the toil. When a person initiates an institute, he is alone at that time because nothing exists. So people don't know whether he is going to become successful or not. Hum to chale the jaane be manzil tanha magar log jhudte gaye kafla banta gaya. So I would like to take this opportunity of congratulating all of them. And I make dua from the depth of my heart that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the ulama And the people of ilm who are sitting here and who are scattered throughout the world in their ilm, in their amal, in their fuyuz, in their endeavors, in their efforts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through them, grant ummah more such ulama who will carry forward their mission. And the ulama from the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in until today, who have departed from this world, we are indebted to all of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enshroud all of them with His mercies. And all those people who are non-ulama, but who always assist in dini causes, who assist the ulama, who assist the madaris, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them immense barakah, both material and spiritual. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them place in Jannatul Firdaus with the ulama, with the talaba. And my friends, go from here, especially my young friends, go with this resolution that I want to become a very good Muslim. And we will only be able to do that if we sit with the ulama. Wherever you have come from, whether from Leicester, from outside Leicester, in Leicester, whichever locality you have come from, in every masjid we have competent ulama, alhamdulillah, throughout UK. Whichever alim you are inclined to, go sit in his company once a week. And now before I used to say, there at least attend one program of an alim, before I used to say this. But people are very busy. There are two types of people, I always say, that lazy like me and busy like you. Because we are busy and lazy, one program is too much for us. One program, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, no, very long. So I say to them, that take out 15 minutes. So go to your local masjid, wherever you feel inclined, perform salat. After performing salat, sit right at the back. Sit right at the back. So you don't disturb anybody. And keep your gaze on the clock as well, watch as well. And 15 minutes leave. Give 15 minutes every week to sit in the company of ulama. If we are unable to sit for 45 minutes and we are able to sit for 15 minutes, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, this 15 minutes will become 20 minutes and this 20 minutes will one day become 45 minutes. And inshallah, as a result, one day you will try to sit in every program that takes place. And you will progress. You will not leave this behind. You will take this with you in the grave. You will take this with you on the day of Qiyamah. And always entertain good thoughts regarding ulama, good thoughts regarding the people of ulama, good thoughts regarding the madaris. And always assist madaris and the people of ulama as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'awana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق، من شر ما خلق، ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب، ومن شر النفاثات في العقد، ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين، الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومن ما رزقناهم ينفقون، والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. اللهم لا أحصي ثناء أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، إليك ربي فحببنا، وفي أنفسنا لك ربي فذللنا، وفي أعين الناس فعظمنا، ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا، وعلى صالح الأخلاق فقومنا، وعلى الصراط المستقيم فثبتنا، وعلى أعدائك أعداء الإسلام فانصرنا. اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا، اللهم امكن لنا ولا تمكن علينا، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم نور قلوبنا بالقرآن، وزين أخلاقنا بالقرآن، ونجنا من النار بالقرآن، وادخلنا في الجنة بالقرآن. اللهم اجعل القرآن لنا في الدنيا قرينا، وفي القبر مونسا، وعلى الصراط نورا، وفي الجنة رفيقا، ومن النار سترا وحجابا، وإلى الخيرات كلها دليلا. فاكتبنا على التمام، وارزقنا أدام بالقلب والسعادة والبشارة من الإيمان. يا رحم الراحمين، هم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری خطاؤں سے درگزر فرما. اے اللہ، تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ان حفاظ قرآن کو قبول فرما, اس مجلس کو قبول فرما, اس میں شریک ہونے والے یا اللہ سب کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ کسی وجہ سے جو شریک نہیں ہو سکے یا اللہ ان کو بھی قبول فرما. یا اللہ ان کے ماں باپ کو اس کا بہتر بدلہ عنایت فرما, ان کے رشتہ داروں کو یا اللہ, ان پر محنت کرنے والوں کو یا اللہ, ان سے محبت کرنے والوں کو اس کا بدلہ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جو ساری فضیلتیں ہیں یا اللہ ان کو عنایت فرما. یا اللہ قرآن کے جو حقوق ہیں ان کی ادائیگی کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو قرآن کی تعظیم ادب یا اللہ اس کے حقوق کی ادائیگی والا بنا. اے اللہ ناقدری سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ تیری نعمتیں ہم پر برس رہی ہیں, اے اللہ ان نعمتوں کی قدردانی کی توفیق نصیب فرما. ناقدری سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. بیماروں کو شفاء کاملہ عاجلہ دائمہ عطا فرما. اے اللہ مقروضین کے قرض کی ادائیگی کی صورت مہیا فرما. اے اللہ آپس کے حقوق کی ادائیگی آسان فرما. اے اللہ آپس میں ایک اور نیک بنا, محبت عطا فرما, اختلافات کو دور فرما. اے اللہ اختلافات کو دور فرما. روحانی جسمانی بیماریوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اے اللہ جو مانگا وہ بھی عنایت فرما, جو نہیں مانگ سکے وہ بھی عنایت فرما. اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک و حبیبک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ونعوذ بک من شر ما استعاذک منہ نبیک و حبیبک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.